And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so lovely to be with you on this Sunday morning. I'm Jo Stanley and as always I'm joined by Gerald Quigley. Hi there, GQ.
Hi, Jo. Welcome to Sunday.
Lovely to see you. Also, Sally Obermeter.
Morning, Sally.
Guys, happy Sunday.
Oh, happy Sunday. Now, tell me, Sal, I mean, it feels like we have the freedom to travel again, which is very exciting. Really? And I'm wondering if you have any holidays planned.
I've got actually my pre-COVID holiday, the one that I, you know, we all had, the one that we had booked that then never eventuated, which is I was going to say to Bali and Thailand because that's where I want to go. It's actually to Fiji. So that's what's on the agenda for me this year, the tropical destination.
Are you taking the girls or is it going to be a romantic twosome?
It's more like a romantic foursome with the children.
That's lovely, though. The family holiday memories are so precious.
Yeah, I want to travel with them while they still want to travel with us.
Totally. Yes. They're happy to be seen with you at the buffet in the morning.
Yes.
That's true. Well, whether you're planning a wellness retreat in Bali or perhaps going to Fiji or maybe it's a safari in Africa, obviously you don't want to be underprepared for your holiday because it means you could get sick, could mean that it's a really bad holiday. Right. So we need to make sure that we're prepared, particularly on the vaccine front when we travel.
Getting prepared more than ever. Travel used to be you got on a plane with your passport and just let it all happen. Not like that these days.
No.
You've got to be super prepared for anything which might crop up. And vaccination is certainly a very important aspect, as well as every other certificate that you've got to carry.
That's right. So Dr. Deb Mills, the travel doctor, is going to be joining us this morning to give us some tips on what is needed before we go overseas. And as you say, Gerald, there's immunisation, but there's so much else. There's whether you take medical kits, what your prescription needs to be.
What you're allowed to take.
Yes.
Yes. What happens if you get there and say, uh-oh, forgot my blood pressure pills. Now what happens?
Yeah, that's no good. Well, 131 873 is our number. And if you are heading overseas this year and you have a specific question for Dr. Deb, depending on where you might be going in the world, do give us a call, 131 873, and she'll be able to answer your questions. Plus, coming up, Dr. Catherine Chen, a researcher from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, is going to talk through some new findings on how we can best improve the management of childhood asthma. I find this very anxiety-inducing, asthma in children, because you know how, you know, it can be a very, very distressing experience.
Well, this is based on some work that was released and publicised fairly widely in the media, Jo, about a week ago, which shows a real disconnect between the child who has been hospitalised with asthma, then discharged. Sadly, a fair number of them end up back in hospital because the whole treatment program goes pear-shaped once they leave hospital. So as a parent of a child with asthma, I think we should all be very concerned about that pathway and how we can change that and make it better.
And I do think like the education is so important. So I didn't have asthma. No one in my family had asthma. And Alyssa, my youngest, has it. And so I didn't really know. I don't know what to look for. I needed to be educated so that I would know, okay, when I notice these particular things, here's the steps I need to take, because it's not automatic that we know what to do.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Very, very important conversation there. Plus, while we're on kids' health, Gerald, you're going to discuss what role the microbiome plays in supporting the growth and development of our kids.
Well,
we talk about microbiome all the time, but I never think about it for children.
I'm expecting, Jo, a very intense discussion with you as the gut queen.
I don't know how I've been given this title.
You should wear it with pride, Jo.
I am obsessed with gut health, it's true. But in children, this is a fascinating conversation, so we're looking forward to that. Give us a call, 131 873. As I said, that is our number. If you have questions to support your health, do call, because Gerald and Sal are both here to answer your questions there. Next up, a medical guide for travellers on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Be prepared for life's little accidents. Find Opsite Post-Op waterproof dressings at Chemist Warehouse. The top film provides a barrier against bacteria, which may help to minimise the risk of infection. And it's Australia's leading waterproof dressing, enabling you to shower and wash with the dressing in place. Opsite Post-Op 3-pack available now at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. For further details, visit chemistwarehouse.com.au. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Opsite Post-Op at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. 131 873 is our number. Give us a call if you have any questions for your health, but also perhaps you are travelling overseas this year and like a little advice as to how to prepare for that, because the world has opened up, which is wonderful. And whether you are opting for a wellness retreat, doesn't that sound nice, Sel?
Sign me up.
I know. Or something a little more adventurous, we do need to tick off a few health precautions before we go. So joining us on the line is Dr. Deb Mills, aka Dr. Deb, the travel doctor. I love that title. She's here to tell us how to prepare when we are heading off to those exotic locations. Hi there, Deb.
Good morning, team.
Doesn't a wellness retreat sound lovely? I do love the fact that people are caring for themselves by booking some well-earned relaxation and pampering at the moment.
Absolutely. And even if you're not going to a wellness retreat, even if you're just going on holidays, it's actually been shown in clinical studies that people are actually more healthy when they go on holidays. Even preparing for the holiday, people's blood pressure and heart health improves in the time leading up to the holiday. Their response to stress is better. So even preparing for a holiday is good.
Just thinking of a holiday helps the feel-good hormone kick in for me. Now, we know, Dr. Deb, some of these retreats are in amazing locations, obviously, but say you're going to, like, Thailand or Bali, what kind of prep would you have to do?
Well, look, the main thing is to say, to start early. You really need to start sort of 6 to 8 weeks before you go, if you can. Now, some people just jump on a plane at the last minute. It's never too late to prepare. But I think travel always needs checklists. And lately, of course, with COVID and everything's changing and airfares are so expensive, you don't want to wreck your trip. You've got to take a kind of formal approach to making sure that everything is done. You know, people worry about tickets and visas and stuff, but they really need to add health to their list. And things like, you know, having a checklist that includes, well, all your COVID stuff, you need to have a record of your vaccine. You need to have travel insurance. And with COVID, you really should be taking N95 masks, RAT tests in case you get symptoms, you want to test that, hand gel, pulse oximeter, and look, even the drug Paxlovid.
Which is the antiviral, Deb.
Yes, yeah. So the Paxlovid is the antiviral. And in Australia, if you get COVID and you're over 70 or you have other medical problems, you basically can get this drug for free. But if you're going into places that are remote from medical care, you can't get this drug, but you still need it. And so there are people who decide to actually carry the drug with them. The trouble is that it's very expensive. And so it does need a discussion with your doctor about whether it's appropriate and, you know, what drugs you might need to stop while you're on these drugs. But the survival rate from COVID, even the second and third attacks, is improved by taking Paxlovid in high-risk people.
And it, I guess it depends under the regulations, bearing in mind we're all dominated in the health industry by red tape, whether your GP would be happy to prescribe it. So that could be a challenge in itself, Deb.
Well, you're allowed to prescribe it on the private market. You see, you can't prescribe it if someone's sick, they can get it on the PBS, so then it's free. But if you want to give it to someone who's travelling overseas, we have people going to very remote areas, people on cruises, people going trekking in the Himalayas, and they're fit and healthy, but if they get COVID, they're stymied, so they want to carry it with them.
Absolutely. Deb, where does one go? I get emails all the time through the House of Wellness Ask tab. Where do people go that they're confident of getting up-to-date travel information? Other than your website, of course.
Look, well, no, websites don't do it. It's like trying to get up-to-date information about anything. You know, the web is a bit patchy. Mm. The best website is the CDC in America, the Center for Disease Control. But if you want to get proper individualized advice, you really need to go to a travel medicine clinic of some sort. Like, there are lots of doctors who specialize in
Deb, I want to know if you're kind of thinking, okay, I need a medical kit, what should I kind of prep or whatever? What are the four main things that commonly happen to travellers that they should prep for?
So the things that happen are diarrhoea, respiratory problems, pain, and wounds. And so they're the things you need to think about putting in your medical kit. So if you go to a travel clinic, they'll probably give you antibiotics for diarrhoea. It's really good evidence now that if you take antibiotics, it shortens your diarrhoea from 5 days down to one.
That's good to know.
Yes.
And can we get specific around parts of the world? If people are heading to Thailand or Bali, what sorts of vaccinations they actually do need? Can you be specific?
Yes. So I can give you general principles, which are very helpful. So the first thing is people need their routine childhood vaccines up to date. And that means things like tetanus. In Australia, you don't need a tetanus every 10 years if you're over 50. But if you're travelling, you do, because you can't get access to tetanus very easily in these places. You also need to check up on things like measles. If you're born between 1966 and 1983, only one measles vaccine was included in the childhood schedule, and you actually need two.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good.
And then you've got the routine, and then you've got the recommended, and that's things like the food diseases. If you're going anywhere grubby, you need hepatitis A and typhoid. Mm. And then you've got the ones that are compulsory, things like yellow fever vaccine, which you need for Africa. And, you know, then there's other vaccines depending on your health. You know, if you've got a history of pneumonia, you might need a pneumonia vaccine. People over 65 might need a shingles vaccine because they don't want to get shingles while they're away, and it's good for their life as well.
Sure, yeah. Well, and just what about travelling just with medications, Deb? You know, you can imagine an 80-year-old that perhaps is going on a cruise and they've got some blood pressure, some cholesterol, and a few other issues. How easy is it? Do you take sufficient plus extra while you're away just in case the worst happens and your luggage disappears?
Look, that's a really good question. There is a facility in the system to take extra medications. You know, if you're going and you can't get to the chemist to get your next script, the doctor can write Reg 24 on it, which means you can pick up several scripts at the same time.
Sure.
So you can take it. And you need a letter to say that you've got these drugs on medical advice. So when you go through customs, it's a huge pile of pills. They know you're not some sort of drug smuggler.
This is great advice.
A lot of drug smuggling and blood pressure medications.
Yes, that's right. Well, head along to thetraveldoctor.com.au for more information from Dr. Deb, the travel doctor. Thank you so much for that advice, Deb.
Oh, my pleasure. Can I just add one thing, if I may? Mm-hmm. The issue of some countries won't allow things like normal depression medication and Stematol and stuff. So don't assume because it's okay here that it's okay there. You really do need to check with the country and make sure you've got the right documentation for any medication.
That's fantastic advice. Well, thank you so much. 131-873 is our number. We'll get to your calls next on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get off-site post-op at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Sally Overmeter, and we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Gerald, one question that I didn't manage to remember to ask Dr. Deb, our travel doctor, because I do tend to overpack when I go on holidays, but what do I need in my first aid kit? Because I get anxious about, you know, what if I can't get this? And then I pack everything.
And it probably depends, Jo, where you're going. But there's some elementary things we've just heard across about a wound dressing, very important, something that's adaptable, suitable for all ages, keeps the wound moist, all of those things, because there could be, particularly with children's cell, scratches on the pool, and that potentially gets infected. Look, it really depends on your own health. If you're normally a fit and healthy person, obviously you're looking for the unexpected, so it narrows it all down. If you're a person who's a little bit health fragile, your medications with the letter, Deb said, Regulation 24, Reg 24, which means you get an extended supply. If you're travelling with things that require refrigeration, wrap them up in silver foil. Maybe you give them to the cabin staff when you get on and say, can you pop those in the fridge until we get where we're going, particularly if you're going to somewhere hot. If you're suffering from the occasional things, Dr. Deb mentioned Stemitil, which is used for nausea, very commonly prescribed. Now, if you can't carry that into a country, you need an option to that or a letter from your doctor. So it's an individual thing. Sit down with a piece of paper, have a chat with your doctor and say, righto, if you were coming with me, what would you suggest I take as the basics? And then I'll throw a few extras in as well. So I would imagine Sel will be taking a mini suitcase to Fiji.
Yeah, I do. With the two girls,
and they're fairly active kids. So that's you know, right. You've got to really just get ready for what might happen.
And I think, too, it's like always take, I mean, I certainly do like a little medical kit in my travel bag. That way, to your point earlier, if your luggage goes missing, you're not panicking about having to replenish supplies in a country where you're not sure your way around.
Yes, and tummy upsets particularly. Take the precautions for, so electrolyte replacement, a diarrhoea treatment, because a tummy bug can just take 4 days out of your trip.
Worst. Shocking. No fun at all. Well, thank you for that advice, and I always take my entire medicine cabinet because you just never know.
You never know. No,
131-873 is our number. Give us a call. Diane in Camden, good morning.
Hello, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
We will. How can we help, Diane?
Well, I'm 79, and when I was 73, I got the shingle needle from the doctor, the government one. Mm-hmm. I think it was called Soster or something. Mm-hmm. I want to know, do I have to have a booster?
Well, at the moment, Diane, there's a couple of different shingles vaccines available now. There's no, I gather, current recommendations on re-vaccinating. It was estimated for a while that 9 years was about the time, but really you'd talk to your GP. And if you were travelling, for instance, or if you have had COVID, because I think there is a connection between COVID and shingles, is probably why shingles is now so common. This is a chat you have with your GP, but at this stage, as I said, Diane, there are no current recommendations.
Keep your calls coming, 131-873. Now, I have got holidays on my mind now because I've got a recommendation for you for By the Pool if you're looking for something to read. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely loving this book. It's called Sweat, A History of Exercise by an American writer, Bill Hayes. It is so interesting because did you know that actually we didn't know that there was a scientifically proven benefit for exercise until the 1950s?
Really? Well, that recently?
Yes. And they learned this because they did this study with bus drivers and conductors in London. Mm-hmm. And they were sort of measuring their heart health over a period of time. And the conductors had 50% less heart attacks than the drivers.
Wow.
Just simply because they were walking.
There you go. Wow. And ringing their little bell on the London bus. Although, if you have a look at that book, which, you know, you can imagine sitting in book group, what are you reading? I'm reading a book about sweat.
it's the history of exercise, Gerald.
Well, I know, but
it happens under your armpits.
Yes. Hippocrates, Plato, Galen, and a few others, including Jane Fonda. But in 1569, a gentleman called Girolamo Mercuriale, Renaissance-era Italian physician, aimed single-handedly to revive the ancient Greek art of exercising through his 1569 book, De Arte Gymnastica. That's the book you should be
love
reading.
Love it. Well, I'm not sure. I don't want to go back to the 1500s, but this is my favourite thing that he said.
Yes.
Bill Hazer said that he believes that Jane Fonda revolutionised exercise for the whole world because she made it possible for us to exercise at home.
And do you know what? She absolutely did. And I think that and I don't think maybe we give her enough credit because we have so much, online things that you can do now, and you can exercise at home, you can do Pilates at home, you can do weight training at home. But actually she literally, she put it on the map and she did. And also I think she reminded us that we should actually schedule exercise. It's not, there's your incidental and that's all fine, but actually set aside some time and do, do a workout. Mm. You know, actually do it, move your body intentionally.
Mm. Yeah.
Good on her.
It was a democratization of exercise in that suddenly you didn't have to be a member of a gym. You could do
that's
it at
right.
home. And certainly during COVID, I discovered yoga with Adrienne, which is a worldwide movement for this one woman who just, she introduced yoga to me in a different way, all because of lockdown. So we kind of returned to this home exercise again.
Yes, yeah, I certainly did as well during lockdown. Also, I like the idea of being able to exercise without having to go somewhere, because it means you've always got the option. Your lounge room's always there.
Sure.
You just, you know, down you get on the carpet and do some movement. It's easy.
And you become accountable to yourself, which is very important as well. Here's another bit of useless information.
Oh, I love
sweat.
It. Good on you.
Humans and horses actually sweat the same way. We sweat through our skin. I can see
I
your
fat.
This is.
Are you calling us horses?
No. But you see a racehorse after a race, and they're sweating through their skin. Humans do that through one set of glands.
Mm-hmm.
Our main set of glands is, of course, in armpits and groins and things. But really, the whole sweat industry is all about that breakdown of perspiration, which gives the odour part.
Mm.
And I always feel sorry for the. For the hyper sweaters, for people who have an overactive set of sweat glands where they constantly perspire, whether it's cold or hot.
Yes. That would be very uncomfortable.
Well, if you pick up a piece of paper, you're actually leaving finger marks on the paper because you're perspiring through your fingers.
Oh. Well,
there you go.
There you go. Lots of trivia for you for your next dinner party.
Yeah.
Well, next up, a new way forward for children with asthma. Plus, keep your calls coming. 131 873 is our number if you have a question for your health. We'll get to those.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Be prepared for life's little accidents. Find off-site post-op waterproof dressings at Chemist Warehouse. The top film provides a barrier against bacteria, which may help to minimise the risk of infection. And it's Australia's leading waterproof dressing, enabling you to shower and wash with the dressing in place. Off-site post-op 3-pack available now at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. For further details, visit chemistwarehouse.com.au. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Life Space Probiotics at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Now, asthma is the most common long-term medical condition of our children in this country, with about 1 in 5 diagnosed with this during their childhood. Joining us on the line is Dr. Catherine Chen, a researcher from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, to discuss new report findings that suggest a way forward. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we understand the prevalence of asthma in Australia is among the highest in the world. So, but is there a particular kind of child who's most vulnerable to asthma?
Of course. I think there's some children with a history of what we call ATP. So these are children who have other allergies, such as food allergies, eczema, or hay fever, and they're more likely to develop asthma. We also know some children, such as those born premature, that's earlier than their due date, because they have had an insult to their lung, are also more likely to develop asthma.
What about the age? What age would we know if our child had asthma?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. And often you may hear from parents that diagnosing asthma, or when you know for certain whether their child has asthma, can be a tricky issue. And that is because a lot of children, babies and toddlers, do wheeze when they develop a cold or viral illnesses. However, most of them do grow out of it. So we say that if children continue to wheeze and they respond to medications that we used to treat asthma, then we're more confident as doctors to call the child as having asthma. So usually by the time a child goes to school, and if they're still wheezing and they respond to medications that we treat asthma, we can be pretty confident that a child has asthma.
Catherine, if we can just set the level here, these are two published, a lot of this discussion has come up on the basis of two published studies which followed 277 GPs and 767 caregivers of children aged 3 to 18 years who were admitted to one of three hospitals in Victoria with asthma. Now, as a paediatrician, were you surprised at the outcome where there's a poor consistency in care once the children leave hospital?
Yes, and I think that's the reason why we did this study. So from the hospital end, we were a bit concerned of the number of children that come back to hospital again. As we know, asthma should be a condition that if well managed, children could lead a full life and we should have very minimal hospital admissions. So we set out to understand why. And as you said, we uncover a few interesting opportunities that we could target. And one of those that this study has focused on particular aspect is the care provided by GP. And it is multifactorial. I think part of the reason is a lot of GPs tell us they're not receiving information once the children leave the hospital, and therefore they missed out on valuable information that hospital specialists have on providing care for the family. Hmm. Now, we know our GPs are responsible for caring the whole spectrum of illnesses from babies to adults to older age. So we can't expect them to know most up-to-date information about the care of children with asthma. And I think that may be the reason why some of the care may be a bit inconsistent. And that leads to how do we help support our GP colleagues in providing the best evidence-based care for our children.
So is that your recommendation, that if we are caregivers of children with asthma, that we have a much more consistent relationship with our GP and we share information with them better?
Absolutely. I think being a chronic illness such as asthma, it is everyone's responsibility. And from the hospital point of view, we try our best to educate and empower our families. We feel that parents and children perhaps are the best holders of information and best understanding of what needs to manage their asthma, and use GPs, specialists and community specialists such as pharmacists and nurses to help support their care.
And I know, Gerald, you are very passionate about having an asthma plan in place.
So important. And, Catherine, we underestimate the value of those preventers, don't we? I'm surprised how many people contact me and say, my asthma's out of control. And when you say, now, what preventer are you using? It's almost like a surprise question. It really? Have I got to use that still? You know, it's just elementary.
Yes, I think that raises a very important point, because in Australia, a family can go up to a pharmacist and obtain Ventolin without a script. And that often is a port of call for families with children with asthma. And I think that pharmacists are a really valuable resource in order to highlight to families, hang on, I'm using quite a lot of these Ventolins. Perhaps you need to speak to your GP about a preventer.
Yes.
A preventer is very important in trying to get the asthma under control so that children don't have symptoms, they can run around, and they don't have flare-ups.
Sure.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Catherine. It's been great to have you on the show. For more information, head along to mcri.edu.au. Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great Sunday. Let's get to a call. Hi there, Daryl in Pakenham.
Hello, Daryl.
G'day, thanks for taking my call. Look, I've been looking at so many how to lose weight and get fit diet books and Googling, et cetera, there.
Yes.
I've now gone past being Dr. Google. I think I'm a professor.
What's your latest, Daryl? What's the latest quick fix?
Well, the latest to getting, I've worked it out over the last 40 years that the best way to look after yourself physically is, as you said before, do a little bit of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not what comes out of your mouth, it's what goes in your mouth that's more important.
There you go.
So do you have a question?
Now my question is that I've been, during having a bit of a look around, they've come across the carnivore diet there, and I just wondered what you guys thought about the carnivore diet, because it's being preached by everybody as being the new revolution.
Of course, and if it's on social media, it's got to be very, very correct, Daryl. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of restricting your balanced intake of nutrition into one particular type of food. There are risks associated with eating from a carnivore perspective. I'm sure Cell's got that view as well. Really, the whole thing's about just eating less, Daryl.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think it's like you want to have a balanced diet. You want to get a bit of everything, and it's not about excluding entire food groups unless you've got some sort of particular health issue. It is about the volume in versus, you know, volume out. And that's essentially, particularly if you're talking about weight loss, that's really what it comes down to. It's maths, actually.
Mm. is. It's a harsh truth.
Yeah, it's like a seesaw, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Well, thank you for your call there, Daryl. Keep your calls coming, 131-873. Next up, microbiome health means for our newborns on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
The Great Barrier Reef is a precious ecosystem, as is your microbiome. Support your microbiome through every life stage with Life Space probiotics from Chemist Warehouse, like Broad Spectrum Probiotic, Probiotic Powder for Baby, and Probiotic Powder for Children. They contain up to 15 strains of beneficial bacteria and support general health and well-being. LifeSpace probiotics available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get LifeSpace probiotics at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Now, you know, I am absolutely obsessed with gut health.
No.
But this is really? Something, this is new for me, right? So the first 1,000 days of life from conception up until the age of two provides a window of opportunity to establish a healthy and resilient microbiome for your growing baby. And I have to say, I've never thought of our children's microbiome. But Gerald, you're here to discuss today exactly what role does the microbiome play in supporting a newborn?
We are talking here, Joe, about an ecosystem. So we're talking about an environment in the gut which basically determines how our gut health and therefore immune function will develop. We've got ecosystems in history in the world, but our gut, we're beginning to understand so many parts of that, and just, you know, it's refreshing actually to know now that really we can, what we do up until a child is age three can affect that child's health for the rest of their life.
And GQ, do you think we should be giving them probiotics even three onwards?
Look, it depends, Sal, on how, what sort of nutrition they're getting. Mm. I'm a great fan of encouraging microbiome health all through life. I think there's a role for a probiotic at most stages of life, because depending how we feel, depending what we eat, depending what our stress levels are, depending whether we've got a tender tummy at the best of times, looking after that ecosystem, especially in children, is absolutely fundamental.
So even during pregnancy or breastfeeding,
especially,
you could be taking it?
Yes, especially, because the benefits in the mum's ecosystem, in her gut, will actually be transferred on to the baby. So very important, and there are specific formulations for pregnancy and breastfeeding, and you get some advice on that.
Oh, so fascinating. Mm. Thank you so much. So let's get to one last call for today. Sim in Cronulla, good morning.
Good morning, Sim.
It's Jim, actually.
Jim, sorry. How can we help,
right,
Jim?
Last week I heard you talking about ubiquinol,
yes.
So I went out and bought some.
Good.
Then I read on the bottle that don't take it if you're taking blood thinners.
This is a standard label, Jim, which causes a lot of confusion. There is not a shred of evidence to show there is an interaction between a blood thinner and ubiquinol. So proceed with confidence. Enjoy the benefits of more energy, of being able to sleep better, of being able more get up and go across the day. There is no interaction. So please don't stress about that. Go ahead and enjoy the benefits. Mm,
and a very good question.
Yes,
because
a common question.
Yes, it is a common question.
Because of this general label that has not been reviewed for 40 years.
Well, thank you so much to all of our callers today. Houseofwellness.com.au is the website if you are after more information, or if you'd like to ask a question, head along to the Ask tab there on houseofwellness.com.au, and we'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
The Great Barrier Reef is a precious ecosystem, as is your microbiome. Support your microbiome through every life stage with LifeSpace probiotics from Chemist Warehouse, like Broad Spectrum Probiotic, Probiotic Powder for Baby, and Probiotic Powder for Children. They contain up to 15 strains of beneficial bacteria and support general health and well-being. LifeSpace probiotics available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get LifeSpace Probiotics at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
It has been an absolute delight to spend the last hour with you. Of course, House of Wellness TV is back today as well. You can catch it on Fridays on Channel 7 at 2 o'clock and today on Channel 7 at midday. And we're carrying on the travel theme. If you've got a bit of a travel bug or you need it ignited, Luke Hines takes us to the Eden Health Retreat.
I've been there. It's so good. Many, many years ago, but oh my gosh, it was lovely. Yep.
Really? I've got it on my wish list, I must say. Any kind of retreat sounds good, to be honest, at this time of year. Also, there's a really important story there about button batteries and how they are so, so lethal for children, but apparently new safety standards are now in force.
And about time.
Oh, so important for our littlies to protect them from that. Mm-hmm. Gerald, I understand you have a very exciting Friday planned.
I'm just inviting you, Sel, to join me next Friday on the Melbourne River Cruise La Contessa, 8:30. If you're at Crown Landing outside the Zero Grady in Clarendon Street, South Melbourne, I look forward to seeing you. We're on Neil's Cruise, which is a magnificent fundraiser that Neil Mitchell runs every year as part of the Royal Children's Hospital Appeal. Can I sign you up?
Please. Yeah, okay. Count me in.
You'll arrange flights and accommodation.
I'll leave the children with Marcus and he'll be fine.
Well, that's what husbands are supposed to do.
That's right, exactly.
We can have you back on the flight late afternoon. So you just come and spend a day cruising up and down the Yarra. It's magnificent.
And for a good cause too.
And for a good cause. So if you, generally speaking, want to come down and have a chat to us all, we'll be there.
Of course, for those of us who aren't able to join you on the cruise, we can donate to the Royal Children's Hospital Appeal, as always. That's always a lovely thing to do. If you are able. Sal, so gorgeous as ever to see you.
Happy Sunday, guys.
Thanks for spending the hour with you. Yes, as always, we say thank you to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. Head along to houseofwellness.com.au for more information. And Gerald, I will see you next week
as well. Thank you, Joe. Bye.
Have a great week.